My name is Harley. I am 17 years old. Today is October 8th, and I'm speaking with Bear, who is my stepdad. We are recording this interview in Santa Clara, California. Okay. Can you describe what it was like growing up in Singapore?
Hi, my name is Yong Tae, or as Harley said. I'm also known as Bear. So, what is it like growing up in Singapore? It felt safe. It was a new place for me when I emigrated in 1969. But when I left in 1979, almost 11 years later, it felt small, because Singapore is an island of only about 250 square miles when I
city
lived
state,
there.
Right?
Yeah, it's a city state, so.
Okay. What caused your parents to want to move here?
My father was offered a position in the United States because he worked for an American company. That company is no longer around. It was called National Semiconductor, and it was based here in Santa Clara. But they had offices in Singapore, so he worked for them in Singapore. So he was offered a position in the United States, which he took, and so we decided, well, one was a new opportunity mm-hmm. for my father, but the other is an opportunity for my brother and for me to get, you know, for their education in the United States. So that's one of the reasons we moved here.
Okay, were your parents in search of the quote-unquote American dream?
I don't really think they were searching for the American dream. I think what they were looking for was for something that could offer more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was, because I think Singapore had a lot to offer. Singapore, again, as I said, is a small city-state country, and it was very, not only was it competitive there, but it was also, it was closed in. So it was, you know, it was like offering, in terms of opportunities, may not have been as large as, say, coming to the United States.
What was your first impression of the United States? Can you, like, describe it?
Well, I had been to the United States in 1970 before that, so I came here on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what United States was. A little different 9 years later. But what I remember was the impression when I first got here on June 21st, 1979,
mm-hmm.
was it was first day of summer. I remember that because everybody said, oh, you know, you're going to get there in summer, was how cold it was. Well, also, you have to also remember that, I mean, when I grew, you know, if you don't know, I grew up in Singapore where the average temperature is 80 degrees all year round. There's
mm-hmm.
no season changes. I mean, if it rains, it might cool down to like 76 degrees, but on average, during the day, it's always like 85,
mm-hmm.
and it's hot and humid. So coming to San Francisco, where your plane lands in the morning,
oh,
and
you get out
of the airport, and it's like 56 degrees and somewhat foggy. So it's, you know, it's a huge awakening. So the first impression was cold, but how fresh the air was. That was the other thing I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And taking freeways. That was the other thing that was foreign to me. Was in Singapore there were expressways. There were, you
mm-hmm.
know, 2 or 3 lane high roads that were considered to be. But there were no freeways, which meant that there's always stoplights, there's always traffic lights, stop signs and traffic lights. But in the U.S., getting on freeways meant that, you know, you go from exit to exit without hitting any lights. So that was the other thing that was an impression.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also how busy. Compared to Singapore, I thought, okay, Singapore is very congested, a lot of people. But San Francisco, where I landed, was also quite busy. So
mm-hmm.
that was the other thing I noticed.
Was it hard for you to adapt to California's culture?
At first it was. I think part of it is because I left as... I moved from Singapore as an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're an 18-year-old, and you know, you know what it's like, you're close to 18, you leave your friends behind. You have a lot of friends, and you're going to a new place where you have absolutely mm-hmm. no friends, just one brother. You have some family. Mm-hmm. But the people that are really important to you are pretty much left behind halfway around the other side of the world. And that's so, crazy. Yeah, so was it culturally different? Yes. I was grateful that I landed in San Francisco, because there was a large Asian community in San Francisco. So it wasn't like I didn't fit in, because I could look around and I see people that look kind of like me, but they all spoke, well, we all kind of like trying to get adjusted to, even though I spoke English, it was a little different dialect of English versus mm-hmm. what people here spoke. So I had to get adjusted to that. But at first it was difficult. But because of school and how busy I was with school, you know, you get fully immersed and you quickly make friends. So within a few months,
Were you in high school or in college?
I was starting. So I got here in June and I started college that fall in September.
So did you have to apply before that?
I did not. Actually, what I did was, because I was too late to apply for anything, mm-hmm. we weren't given very much time by the U.S. Embassy, State Department. Mm-hmm. We moved in June, and we were told in April that we were moving in June. So we were told 2 months before we had to move that we had to move.
Oh, really?
So it was pretty sudden. Mm-hmm. And then they said that if you don't move within this time frame, you'd lose your spot. So which means that we'd have to wait a whole other rotation, which could be 2 or 3 years. So my parents chose and made a decision to move us in June. And when we just heard it in April, basically. So it was very quick. But no, then I didn't apply, so I didn't have an opportunity to apply, because had I knew I was going to come to the United States, I would have applied the previous November for mm-hmm. colleges. So what we did was, I did apply to a couple colleges, and it would have been on waitlisted, like San Francisco State, which I applied for. So I went to community college, which was mm-hmm. the easiest route, which is, you know, you can just join at any time. Mm-hmm. So I went to community college, and then from there I went on.
Okay. Did you experience any backlash because you were an immigrant?
No, I think, interestingly, San Francisco, I think, was a city of immigrants. Mm-hmm. Now, even though, I mean, I say San Francisco, we were staying with my aunt in Daly City, which is just south of San Francisco. That was kind of like greater San Francisco, suburb of San Francisco. No, because I think the reason I say the answer is no is because when I went to college, when I started college that September of 79, the first group of people I met were all immigrants. They were, mm-hmm. I met Lebanese, I met Palestinians, I met Israelis, Czechs, Russians. So, you know, I felt, hey, you know, I wasn't the only person that, mm-hmm. you know, had just come to the United States. Some of them had been here a couple of years, 3 years longer than me, but most were people that had never seen this country before and were just new immigrants. But there were also quite a few in college. I also met people that were Vietnam War veterans, because Vietnam War had just only ended about 5 or 6 years before. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of veterans that were going back to school. So I met a lot of older, they were probably anywhere from 8 to 12 years older than me. But they were coming in as like college freshmen with me, because they were taking advantage of going back to school and so on. But so I met a plethora of different people going to college. And San Francisco was great because it was kind of like a mixing bowl of cultures. Mm-hmm. You know? So it was really neat.
How did your parents react when you and your brother both married white women?
The initial answer to that is not very well. I think they had an expectation, at least they thought it might happen, but I think they didn't, you know, it was in the back of their minds. And the fact that I got married when I was 26, I think, I was 25 when I got married. So I emigrated when I was 19, got married when I was 25. So it was only 6 years after we came to the United States. And I just received my, naturalization, so I became an American citizen not long before that. and you know, it was a surprise to them at first. My mother took it a lot harder, and I think it took her the longer one to convert.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, I think there was a realization that, you know, we've come to a country where it's not, you know, like China, where it's all Chinese or
mm-hmm.
or mostly Chinese, or even Singapore, which is mostly Chinese. Where now we're in a country where there are people from many different parts of the world, you know, like from South America, from Europe, Africa, all parts of the world. And so you have to expect that, you know, you're going to find somebody and fall in love with somebody that is not of the same tribe, if you want to call it that,
mm-hmm.
or race. Yeah. So,
can you describe the main difference culturally between here and Singapore?
Singapore, even though it was a British colony going all the way back to the 1800s, because of its large influx of Chinese immigrants from southern China, a lot of its culture is based on the Chinese culture. So a lot of what was been an acceptable culture was mainly Chinese. Even though the country itself celebrated four different kinds of New Year. So we had we celebrated the regular Western New Year,
mm-hmm.
but we also celebrated Chinese New Year. We celebrated, because there was a large population of Indians, we celebrated the Indian, you know, holidays. And because there was a large population Muslim, we also celebrated the Muslim New Year. So it was a mixed bag of cultures.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like here?
Yes, it is. However, Singapore is much more tolerant in terms of understanding the different cultures,
mm-hmm.
especially from its larger group of ethnic. I shouldn't use the word ethnic, because the word ethnic was never used in Singapore until I only used it here in the United States. But over there, you know, if you're Chinese, you celebrate Chinese New Year, but you also celebrate regular New Year. Or if you're Indian, you do, you know, you celebrate this holiday season called Deepavali or Diwali, and then they also celebrate Christmas. I had Indian friends that would come over to our house for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But we were very tolerant, so you know, we exchange gifts with people that were not of the same culture, but they accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's one of the major differences, that how tolerant they were of each other's culture. Where here, there seems to be more, you know, people were secular, which meant that, you know, only Jews really celebrated Jewish New Year, for example,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, like Hanukkah. Or if you were Chinese, only really mostly Chinese people, or if you married into a Chinese culture, then you would celebrate that Chinese New Year. But, you know, you don't expect people of different, let's say, you know, most of my friends that were white didn't celebrate until they knew who I was. But in Singapore, you celebrated it. Everybody celebrated it. If it was
mm-hmm.
Chinese New Year, it didn't matter if you were white, if you were Indian, if you were of Muslim background, you'd
mm-hmm.
celebrate it because, you know, you include it. So that's, to me, that was one of the major differences. The other was how multilingual the country was there.
Mm-hmm.
So the Indians actually still spoke a lot of Tamil, which is a southern dialect of Indian. Here, other than a little bit of Spanish, it was mostly English, you know what I mean? So I felt that was one of the larger differences, was that I think here there was some separation, where there I think it was more inclusive.
Has there ever been a point in your life where you wished you had never left?
No.
No? Why?
The reason is, I think that I've always believed that there was no point in ever looking back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think looking forward is always, you know, once... Okay. I think the opportunity that my parents afforded us to come to the United States was... I looked at it as being, it's an opportunity. So if I have to believe that my parents were educated enough or knew enough to know that this is a better, or it is an opportunity that could better ourselves, mm-hmm. that could better me, myself, my brother, the family. So we use that as an opportunity. So looking back, I've always been taught that looking back really wasn't, you look back to learn about history, about how you shouldn't repeat yourself from making mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. But you really don't look back to regret things. You look back and kind of contemplate, you know, maybe I could have done something better or could have done better there, but really not to regret that. Going back to something that you used to be isn't necessarily
mm-hmm. you're good. Not really good.
Unless you go to prison, then you do really want to go back and say, you know, I wish I hadn't done that.
In your opinion, what is the main challenge of being an immigrant in the United States?
I think initially it was acceptance. And then over time is to find your place mm-hmm. in the society. So initially it was about being accepted. And I was lucky that, you know, I landed in California where there was so many different cultures. So growing up, not growing up, but going to college, my friends, my close group of friends were, you know, a Japanese American, a Swiss American, the only white, well, actually he was the second white boy in our group, but, and then we also had a Hispanic American. He was mm-hmm. born here, but his parents were from Mexico. And then we also had a couple of Vietnamese Americans who were recent, they were refugees. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I learned a lot about getting to know these people and what their plight, how they came to the United States versus how I came to the United States. I felt privileged because of, you know, I got off the plane. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to leave the country in a boat like some of my friends did. So I felt I was pretty privileged and pretty lucky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the other part is once I settled down, now it's about how you fit in, how you could add to the society, how you could improve and add value to that society. That's how I felt I could fit in.
Thank you.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I answered all your questions.
Yeah.